happy Father's Day. You know, I hope all of you are having a great Father's Day. It's an amazing time to celebrate Father's Day, I guess, in a way. I mean, because it's kind of interesting. Everything's different, isn't it? I mean, everything's just sort of like, it's, do you remember the movie Superman? And where he goes, and it's the alternate state, Bizarro World. If you watch Seinfeld at all, you always heard Bizarro World. That's kind of what we have, because here we are in the exact same setting, but things are just a little bit different. Throws everything off. It makes your footing a little bit off. You know, this past week, though, as I thought about Father's Day, I started to remember stories about my dad. I mean, it's been 54 years since he died, and so, I mean, I was going back into my childhood. And, you know, I thought of sayings that my father used to always say. Now, I would venture to guess your dads had the same thing. I mean, did any of your fathers have, like, a saying? It might have been cute. It might have been clever and wise. It might have been cute and clever and wise. But sort of your dads said that, you know, more than once to you. Anybody got one? I had one this morning that said, I brought you into the world, and I can take you out of the world. Anybody got one that they might have thought? Go ahead, Katie. Okay. Katie, say that again louder, but with your mask down. You're far enough away. That's right. You got to be tough. You know, it's funny, because the one that always hit me was my dad, and I'm sure he didn't coin this phrase, but he always said to me, you know, if you never lie, you never have to remember what you said. You know, those little things you carry with you, your life. You bring them about. There are also the little stories that do. I remember a story that happened with my dad. My mother, my brother, and I, and my dad went to see his brother. His name was Uncle Winthrop. We called him Uncle Wimp because he cried real easy. And Aunt Gertrude, and they had a lot of, you know, children. The cousin that I had that was closest to my age was a kid named Scott. And I remember they lived in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And we drove down to Williamsport. It was just a day's drive. It was a long time, but we went over there just for a few hours to have like lunch or something. I can't remember exactly why. And when we got down there, I had just gotten one of those, you remember those frames that were like, they were called a bounce back? And it had a frame, it had netting in it, and you could take a hard ball, throw it in, and actually have catch with yourself. I had just gotten one, I loved it. I mean, that thing was cool. And I brought it down, and Scott and I played it. In fact, we didn't even go in for lunch, we just played with that thing outside. At the end of the day, we're about ready to leave, and my dad walked out and saw Scott and I still playing with it, and Dad looked at Scott and said, you like that, don't you? And he goes, yeah, I wish I had one. He goes, well, why don't you take this one? I mean, I remember thinking in my head, wait a second, you know, that's mine. And then my dad looked over and he said, look, I'll get you another one. But things of value are forgiving, not forgetting. I didn't know exactly what he meant then. Things of value are forgiving, not forgetting. You know, when I looked at the scriptures for today, especially the gospel, I thought to myself, oh, this is great. This is a wonderful gospel to have to preach on Father's Day. How do you tie this together? You know, I didn't come to bring peace but the sword. You know, that's not exactly what you'd call a compassionate father. But if you look at the scriptures right straight through, the beginning of it is Jesus teaching, and he says very clearly this. He says, you know what? Basically, a disciple is not above the teacher, but it's good to be equal to the teacher. And a slave is not above master, but it's wonderful if, you know, the slave becomes master. You know, and that in a lot of ways, you know, I mean, don't worry about things. Don't be afraid of things. You know, especially those who can just kill the body and not get the soul. You know, because you're of great value. Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet Our Father in heaven knows when one of those sparrows goes to the ground. He knows it all. In fact, he knows every hair on your head, which, by the way, Dave, is an easy count for you now, okay? So, he says basically, you know, you're worth more to me than you could possibly imagine. You're worth more than you'd ever imagine. Then he goes into that part about, you know, the sword and the peace. And it almost sounds like, what's he saying? But he goes real clearly and he says, and a man will be set against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, members of your own household. Well, you know what? They're going to turn against you. But those who lose their life for my sake will gain their life. That unless you're willing to have God be above even your mother and your father and your children, you're going to miss it because you've got to take up the cross. You got to get your priorities right. You know, I started to think about that because what he's really saying here, and Jesus does this off and on throughout the entire teaching of the New Testament, Jesus is teaching him, he's saying, you know what, a lot of you guys pride yourself on the positions that you hold. You're a rabbi, you're a teacher, you're a master. Some of you pride yourself on your family. You know, that by God, I am, you know, of this family or that family, and I have this high regard. And he goes, you know, those are wonderful things. I'm not knocking them, I wouldn't think Jesus would say. But in comparison to God, that's not really where your value comes from. Your value comes from me and what I've given to you. Because I gave you the value. And it comes from being in that place where you're in relationship with me. You know, it's really easy to say, isn't it? But it's hard to live out. But, you know, I started to think about it. I mean, think about it. You know, I mean, I don't know if you know, but my last name is Spencer. And actually, I'm related to Princess Diana. So, I mean, if you want to kiss my ring later, I'll let you. But, I mean, I actually am, you know, tied to royal blood, you know, and I'm a priest. You know, can't get much better than that, can you? Being a Spencer and being a priest, phew, you know, I made it to the top. But that stuff doesn't mean anything. In fact, the Apostle Paul would say, I count that all as rubbish, is what he says, in comparison to knowing God through Jesus Christ. Of course, he gave his whole resume. You know, I'm a Pharisee. You know, I persecuted the church. I did this. I did that. I've always been there. I did everything. You know what? But I don't count it as worth anything. It's not that stuff. It's what God does and gives to me that really counts. Don't forget, value's not forgetting. It's forgiving. It's forgiving. So who has given value to you? Who has given value to? Who are the people in your life? Hopefully it was your mom and your dad, if the system was the way it was supposed to, but it might not have been. Hopefully it was your brothers and your sisters, but sometimes that doesn't work. Hopefully it was your friends. Hopefully, I'll be up front with you. I wish sometimes that clergy would give more value to their people. I'm saying, you know, there it is. Because the way you give value is how? How do you give value? You give them time. You give them attention. You are there for them. When they call you, you call them back. You care. You're there for them. Because it's in those small acts that value is given away. Now, we can sit here all day and analyze who's given you value, but really, the truth of the matter is, if you're sitting here, you've shift positions. Your job is to give value, not to receive value. So who are you going to give value to? You men who are dads, don't sit around all day just saying, it's Father's Day, I get to do whatever I want, you know? I encourage you to think of two people that are also fathers that need you to call them to say, you are truly a good father. Somebody that wouldn't expect it. Somebody that might not have, in a sense, relationships where they're going to readily receive something. Because when you do that, you give them value. And then you become more of what you're supposed to be. But like I said before, sometimes the system doesn't work right. You know, I think about it, you know. I was 16 years old when Dad died. 16 years old. And I only had one dad. Okay? I had one dad. But as I thought about it this week, you know, my dad gave me so much. I mean, if you think that I'm hyper, you should have seen him. I'm a chip off the old block. Okay? And he was always working. He was always doing stuff, but had a sense of joy about him. He never met a stranger, and he just enjoyed life and enjoyed engaging. But don't get in his way, because, I mean, if you got in his way, he was going to run over you, okay? And he gave me a lot of grace, but I'll be upfront with you. When he was gone, I was kind of lost. I was like, well, wait a second. Where does it come from? And like I said, I only had one dad. But to be real honest with you, when I really look back, I had quite a few fathers. I had my buddy Timmy's father, Mr. Brook. He was a Marine in World War II. And now, I would not say he was the most, let's just say, moral and ethical man I've ever met in my life. He you know the words in there, debauchery, licentiousness? He probably participated in a lot of that stuff. It was, but you know what? He gave me a sense of understanding who I was as a man in a different way than, you know, than I got from anybody else, especially after my dad died. He was there for me. Told me not to ever be afraid. To always look at how you can adapt to what's going on. Move forward. Always don't ever retreat. Keep moving forward. You might stand still for a little bit, but you keep going forward. He gave me value. My other friend, Jack King, his dad, Mr. King, he was a great guy too. I'll never forget, even in my 20s, when I was living at home with my mother right after college and Jack was living at home with his parents right after college, you know, I'd go down there and let's just say I was doing some of the things probably then that Mr. Brook was doing, you know. And we'd go down there and sometimes, you know, I'd say, Mom, see you later. But, well, to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't make it home till like a day or two later. I'll never forget Mr. King coming to me. He goes, Jim, don't do that to your mother. She stays up all night worrying about you, I guarantee it. If you think you might not make it home at night, go to her and say, look, I'm going to be staying down at our house. Because otherwise, she's going to be up all night. Then he used a term that I will never forget. He said, it's common courtesy when you live with someone to look out for them. I think Jesus said something like, love your neighbor. That's common courtesy too. You see, I had what was called compensatory grace. The system was gone because my dad wasn't there. The one that was supposed to tell me and teach me how to do it, well, he wasn't there any longer. So God gave me other fathers that were in there. I would venture to guess that all of you had other fathers in your life. Fathers that might not have been there because your dad couldn't be there for one reason or another. But that the compensatory grace, the grace of God, flowed through these other people that came through in a way that showed you that God was still present. It's kind of like what we got in the Old Testament. Hagar's out in the middle of the desert because, you know what, the system broke down. Abraham, who was supposed to be her caregiver, well, he kind of, because of his wife Sarah, had to kick her out. And they're out in the middle of the wilderness. And she's thinking, the water's out, I'm in the middle of the wilderness, I don't know where I am, I'm going to die. She sets a bow shot away, her child, Ishmael, and then she just goes off to cry, and God hears her cry. And what happens? When she gets to where all of she comes to her senses because he listens to her, she turns around, and there's a well right next to her. You don't think that well was there all along? You see, a lot of times, I think we miss God's hand at work because we keep thinking, this is the way God's got to work. That's the system. To be honest with you, God has his own system. And his system is to make it work through so many different ways. And to be honest with you, on this Father's Day, I celebrate my dad William T. Spencer, Jr., I celebrate him. But I even more celebrate the other fathers that were there for me when my dad couldn't be there for me. You know, you're in the midst of a situation right now like this world has never seen, where we've got all kinds of things going. It's there that we got to tap into the grace. So I pray that you have wisdom to look for the grace of God in whatever direction God allows it to come to you. Because the grace of God will be there for you in every situation. Because value is something for giving, not for getting. But you have to have eyes that are open. Open by faith to see the hand of God in all the world about you, not just in the way that you've been raised to think it's got to stay in. Because sometimes God does things in mysterious ways. Very mysterious ways. And when we finally get into His rhythm, receive His value, and stay in that sea of grace that God has given to us, then all of a sudden life becomes more alive and more real than we'll ever know. On this Father's Day, I pray that you realize you have a Father in heaven that has never given up on you, promises He'll never leave you, and will provide for you in every absolute thing. He might do it through your dad, but then again, He might do it through a whole other people that are fathers that you didn't even know you had because they don't have the same last name. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.